Well, we are continuing this week our scripture, our sermon series for Lent, which is following the last week of Jesus' life as he entered Jerusalem, starting with Palm Sunday and continuing. And today we have reached Tuesday, that really special day that I'm sure you all remember in Jesus' last week. But we have an account of Jesus' Tuesday from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, starting with verse 28. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question." This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, you probably didn't think that much happened on Tuesday. I mean, we don't have any nice little adjective to go with it, like Palm Tuesday or Maundy Tuesday or Good Tuesday. None of those things seem to be applicable, but the truth of the matter is that if you look at the Gospel of Mark, there is more that is written about Tuesday than any other day of the last week of Jesus' life. It took three chapters to get all of the things that happened on Tuesday in. It is 115 verses. The next longest was Maundy Thursday with 60 verses, and then Good Friday with 47 verses. So Tuesday is a very important day. And one of the ways that Jesus continues to teach us about what it is that's going on in his last week, what it is that he believes that he has to teach those who are around him to understand their responsibilities as he begins to recognize that he's not going to be on earth very much longer. He is placing into the lives of those who are the church of the day new responsibilities, new ways to be a part of God's world. And so we look at how that's a part of these things that go on Tuesday. About two-thirds of what happens on Tuesday is conflicts that Jesus has with the authorities of the church. And then the remaining third, which is basically chapter 13, is Jesus' warning of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. He talks to them about the second coming of the Son of Man, and he encourages them to be watchful for what God is sharing with them and the signs that are there. That chapter 13 is called the Little Apocalypse. It's filled with figurative language, symbolism that's there. The big apocalypse, of course, is the book of Revelation. So as you read the 13th chapter, you read it in the same way as you read the book of Revelation. But then Tuesday, according to the Gospel of Mark, begins with a time of the disciples going back by the fig tree that we learned about on Monday. Remember last week I talked about the fig tree being representation of the church, that the church of the day was fruitless. It had no fruit to give anybody. It was feeding no one any longer. It had passed its prime. Its season was gone. And so Jesus was saying that the church, its time was in need of change. The things that were going on in the church were not feeding anyone, and its fruitfulness was gone and needs to be replenished. And so Jesus started with a series of conflicts. The conflicts actually explain why it is that the church was fruitless, why it wasn't feeding anyone any longer. And the first of the things that happened was that Jesus was questioned about his authority. Why do you have the authority to come riding in on a donkey on Palm Sunday? Who told you could do that? The church has to approve everything that you do, and God couldn't do anything outside of what the church thinks. We're the ones who control what God does. We're the one who narrows the focus. We're the ones who are going to say what God wants and what God doesn't. How do you have the nerve to do anything outside of the realm of the church? How do you have the nerve to go in the temple and start turning over tables? Who told you could do that? I mean, you're acting like the prophets of old. Do you think you have some kind of prophetic word for the church now? And Jesus says, absolutely. They ask the question, or do you think you're like Jeremiah, that prophet? He says, absolutely, just exactly like what the prophet Jeremiah did. And I hope you'll understand it as a new prophecy. The conflicts then went from that idea of who had authority to do what to the next one of a very politically based question. And that was, should we pay our taxes? Boy, does that sound familiar. You know, of all of the things about the national budget and the state budget and what should we should pay for this, and I don't want my taxes to go up anymore. It sounds very much like what was going on in the world of Jesus. And they wanted to trick him by saying, should we pay taxes to Caesar, which was not a very popular thing. And Jesus says, give to Caesar what's Caesar, but never give your heart to Caesar. Never give your whole life to Caesar. Just give him what's due him, and that's the money that you pay in your taxes. And then finally, they tried to trip him up with another conflict, and that was they gave him a riddle. There was a woman who was married seven times, and in being married that many times, she dies, she goes to heaven, and who's going to be her husband in heaven? And probably she would have said, none of them, I don't like any of the bums. But nonetheless, that it was a question to say, how can you understand the things of Scripture? How do you have the authority to say the things and do the things that you're doing if you can't answer these questions? But Jesus very skillfully maneuvered his way through those kinds of questions. In the middle of all these conflicts, then Jesus did what he tends to do all the time, and he told a story. He told a parable about a landowner, and the landowner decided that he wanted to put a vineyard in. And so he built the vineyard, set it all up, moved to another country, and left it in the hands of some tenants. He just leased it out to them, and they had promised that they would give him some of the produce that was available from the harvest. Well, when the harvest came in, the landowner sent his slaves to go and pick up some of what the harvest was, his portion, his rightful share of the harvest. And what did they do? They grabbed the slave, they beat him up, and sent him out with nothing in his hands. And then they sent another slave, and the same thing happened. And then another slave, and they killed that one. And then this continued to go on until finally the landowner said, well, maybe if I send my beloved son, they will respect him enough to do what's right, and they won't be selfish any longer. But their selfishness even grew greater, because what they said was, now we can even get his inheritance. We can get even more for ourselves. Not only will we rip him off for his own produce, but now we'll take him for his inheritance as well. And so they killed the son. And Jesus asks at the end of the story, what do you think the landowner's going to do? Well, they all said, well, he's going to wipe them out. He's going to throw the bums out. Jesus looks at him and says, I'm talking about you. You see, what we think in our 21st century minds and people who are post-resurrection Christians, we think about this as being an event that's really about Jesus. It's really an allegory in our minds. Jesus is the beloved Son. God is the owner. God's going to destroy those who try to kill the Son. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is using this in a different way. Jesus is looking at those who were running the temple of the day, and he said, you are as selfish as these tenants. As many people as God sends to you, you don't get the message. You keep saying that it's all about me. You keep saying that I'm going to be the one that runs the temple. I'm going to be the one that makes sure that everybody goes in a narrow focus of what God is doing around us. You're not going to pay any attention to God, because it really is all about you and how much money you can make off of the church and how much glory you can get from those around you. You remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee goes into the square, and he prays so that everybody else can hear him, because he wants it all the glory for himself. It's not about God, it's about him. And that's what Jesus is focusing on with these who are running the temple of the day. He says that the reason that the temple is not bearing any fruit, it's because of your own selfishness, because of your own self-centeredness, because you are not being willing to look at how you serve others rather than being served yourselves. And so when Jesus asked the question, what is the owner going to do? They say that he's going to destroy everything around him. And then there's this moment of clarity that comes into this story. It's the one time in all of these conflicts that all of a sudden Jesus is able to agree with one of the scribes. And the scribe comes and he asks Jesus, he says, "Can you tell me what is the commandment that is first among all the others? The most important commandment." And Jesus quotes two scriptures. First from the book of Deuteronomy and then the book of Leviticus. He says, first of all, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And then he quotes from the book of Leviticus and he says, "And love your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest of the commandments." And what Jesus is saying to the scribe is that what we've been talking about, all these conflicts that we're having, all of the struggle, all of the fruitlessness that we're seeing off of the church these days, is because simply you have become unwilling to serve and are only willing to be served. It's really out of your own selfishness. And the truth is that we don't have a church any longer that's willing to serve. You know, it's the great commandment, of course. The great commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor. But to those who first heard Jesus, Jesus was saying, it's not all about you. It's about others. It's about serving as I have served in your lives. And you may think of this about what do we pay Caesar and what do we not. Remember, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but keep your heart to God. You only give your heart to God. Your passion is only your God and what God is calling you to do. And there are no more class distinctions. If you want to be the best and the most holy of all of those around you, you're in the wrong business. You're in the wrong place. Because God says you have to be last so that others can be first. It's not about you. It is always about God. And Jesus, all of a sudden, is teaching against the things that are going on in the church in the day. And he's saying to them, if you don't get the message, the church is going to die. It's going to continue to be fruitless and not feed anyone. And the scribe agrees. It's an amazing moment that those who are around him begin to hear what Jesus is trying to say. I have come to serve, not to be served, and I expect exactly the same out of you. Jesus tacks on another phrase. He says, this is more important, loving God and loving your neighbor is more important than all of the whole burnt offerings and all of the sacrifices that you can give. It's more important than all of your hosannas and all of your hallelujahs. It's more important than sitting in the chairs and singing your songs. It's more important than anything that you do. Until the church again takes responsibility to serve rather than be served, until the church recognizes that we are the church of Jesus Christ and we do as Christ did, that we will never be able to feed those who come so desperately in need of it. It is our only job description. Jesus says, if you want to know what it means to be the church, this is what it means. It's the only thing you are to do, the only thing you are called to do. I think that when we look at this, we begin to realize Jesus teaching not only those of the church of his day, but the church of our day. There's a story of a minister who went to visit another church, a church that was vital, really working and moving among the people, growing very rapidly. And they asked, how is it that the church is growing and doing so well? And he said, we only have one requirement of our members, and that is that they are willing to wear an apron rather than a bib. And he said, what do you mean? And he said, well, bibs are for people who want to be fed, people that are not ready to feed anybody other than themselves, who are more interested in being served rather than serving, who are going to insist that the church is for them rather than for their needs. An apron, the aprons are for people who are those who have a heart to serve others in the name of Christ, who know that they are the church, who have a mind that is ready to get their hands dirty for the Lord, who are growing in their faith and are hungry to help others in their lives. You know, there was a survey done not long ago that asked Christians, thousands of Christians were asked this question, why does the church exist? 88% of the people said, for my needs and the needs of my family. It is time for us to give up the bibs. It's time to put on an apron. It's time to serve rather than be served, to find the joy of the Lord in our service rather than in making sure that it's all about us. Remember when Jesus gave the Last Supper? Remember in the Gospel of John it says that he put on an apron and he washed the feet of his disciples. That's the experience that we are called to be. We are called to be those people that take on the responsibility of serving the needs of others more than serving our needs. Jesus tells the scribe, he says, you are very close now to living in the kingdom of God. Very close. Not quite there, but very close. You're very near because you found the heart of the gospel, but you're not quite there yet because you've got to live it to be able to know it. Living the life of the person who wears the apron rather than the bib.